Hi, just a little call. This is David from Number Writing. How are you doing?
I'm good. So we're doing that at 11?
Sir, I said 10 a.m. PST, I guess.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Sorry about the inconvenience.
I was just confused. I was like, how do you say 10 o'clock? I was just sitting here waiting.
Can you please tell me in which time zone are you?
I'm in Arizona. I'm not really sure what time they're on here. I'm not from here, so I don't really know. I haven't been here that long, but it's 11 o'clock where I'm at.
I got it here. All right, sir. So, yeah, can you please continue with the session? Is it a good time? Are you free right now?
Yeah, that's fine. We can do it. I just wasn't sure.
All right. So I thought that you were in PST, so that's why I just told you it's going to be 10 a.m. PST. And it's 10 a.m. right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's continue with the chapter. So it was, please describe what happened in 2015 when you went to Vegas. How did you end up in jail? And how was your friend involved?
Okay. So me and one of my friends, let me back up a little bit. I was with Jay, and we ended up breaking up, I want to say close to the end of summer, or maybe the end of summer, somewhere around there. Maybe I can't remember if it was spring break, something like that. Actually, I think it was spring break, because I remember. So me and her, we broke up. We hadn't really talked for a couple months, and it just, at the time, it felt so so permanent. I think we broke up because we just, we just grew apart. I mean, I had spent so much time in school. I was dedicating so much time to studying and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have a lot of time for her. And so eventually we kind of like grew apart. And so we broke up, and it felt like really devastating at the time. So I continued on. Of course, I mean, it wasn't easy. Like, I still like went through my classes and everything like that. My grades had started slipping, everything. And one of my friends he reached out to me and was checking on me to, just make sure I was okay and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested that. He was like, well, what do you want to do about it? And so I was like, I don't know. Maybe I just need to get away for a little bit just to kind of clear my head. And he would ask, like, where would you want to go? And we would start naming things like maybe South Padre Island or go to Austin or something like that. And I was like, well, maybe we can go to Vegas. I heard it's not that expensive. I'm looking at the hotel room and stuff like that. So ultimately, we decided on Vegas, and so during that time that we decided on Vegas, I think spring break was coming up,
mm-hmm.
and so we left the weekend of spring break, I want to say, so I took off a week from work, and I rented a car, my name, and I went. I kind of went with this guy, basically, who was considered to be a friend at the time. I think we might have left like that the next morning,
mm-hmm.
After I rented the car. But along the way, we ran into some issues, a couple of issues. Driving there, we get to Tucson, around Tucson area. Well, first when we, first of all, like, we crossed the border, you know, like, we were all excited about going. We were like, it was both a getaway for both of us. It was going to be like a breath of fresh air for both of us. And then, so we're driving from Texas and we get to Arizona. And we cross the border and we get pulled over. They find like weed and like methamphetamine, which was like Molly, uncapped Molly. Now I didn't know anything about the uncapped Molly or anything, and but I knew about the weed. And so we get pulled over, we get handcuffed, and at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they just let us go. Now I'm not really sure. Like I think from what the guy told me, I can't remember his name because it's just been that long. You call him Anthony or something. He gave the Border Patrol some money, and he paid them off to let us go. So we leave, and then we get around the Tucson area, which we get pulled over again, and the police officers, they searched the car, and then they found some of the weed, and they found the methamphetamines. And so they ended up impounding the car, taking us to jail. So we get processed in. And then when we're in the car, he had a pipe, like a glass pipe. I don't know what it was, but he was trying to like hide it inside of the squad car or whatever, and it breaks off. Officer asks, he's like, "Who is it?" I'm like, "Bro, I don't know. It was here when we got here," and he was like, "No, this car was cleaned out." It was like, it's got to be one of y'all. So basically, they charged us because I had my gun on me, and he also had like an open tank. And so they charged me with weed, methamphetamines, and possession of a firearm. They charged him with weed, methamphetamines, a pit paraphernalia, and then a container. It was a white Hennessy. So we go to jail. I'm freaking out because, you know, I've really never been in that type of trouble before. Mm-hmm. And I'm freaking out because I'm just, you know, in my head, school is done. Everything I've worked for, that shit is done. And so we're probably sitting there for about 4 o'clock that afternoon or so.
Mm-hmm.
And got released around like 9, 10 o'clock that morning. We did a virtual hearing at 8 o'clock that morning. And which we pled not guilty to. Both of us pled not guilty to. And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Like I said, the whole time, I'm just thinking my future is done. Like, everything I'm working for, I'm trying to, you know, become a doctor and everything. I'm going to school to be a doctor. And I'm just like, fuck. Like, everything that I work for is just done. I don't know. Who am I? My mom, my parents, or whomever, who's going to know, you know, stuff like that. And I'm just like, and he's like not even freaking out at all. he's already in his field. He's his job was he is a mortician. Yeah, he's a mortician. And so he's like, you know, he'll be fine. And the whole time, like, you know, like, bro, like, take the charges. I mean, you're already in your field. It would be better if you took versus myself, because I have a lot more schooling to do, and I'm not in my field yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, nah, they're not going to charge both of us at the same time, you know, for the same thing. They, you know, if anything, they'll charge us half and half. I'm like, all right, man, like, I just think it'll be better if you just take the charges and I can come, you know, pick the car up from the impound. And so, like I said, they charge us, and we're just in there, we're talking, and I couldn't sleep, like, at all, so I stayed up probably until 8 o'clock the next morning until we had our hearing. And then the judge is the one who tells me, like, maybe y'all should, maybe you should plead not guilty. And so I plead not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they release us that next morning. And so we're trying to get to our car to get it to the impound, because they're not going to take it back to Texas because it's a rental car. And, you know, nobody can really pick it up. It's either leave it there or we go get it. And so they, like, our license and everything was in. So we couldn't really show proof that it was ours. But they knew it was ours, and eventually they released it to us. But we had such a hard time trying to get to the impound lot. We actually ended up running into a young lady who's also driving to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
After we had asked like several people, like, hey, can we get a ride? Can we get a ride? And they kept turning us away. Well, the lady was like, I'm also headed to Vegas. And I was like, okay, well, if we give you, I think we gave her like $20 to take us to the impound lot. And that's where we got the car. So we finally got the car. And then we start heading back to Vegas. Maybe like an not even an hour later, maybe like 45 minutes later, we get pulled over again. And they give us a warning that time. They let us go because we literally had just gotten out of jail. But we spent about like maybe three hours or so walking up this street trying to figure out how are we going to get down the highway to get this car and everything. But like, after that, we get to Vegas. We check in our room, and hallways they smell like pee. And we're a circus. Hallways smell like pee, and first thing he wants to do is poop. And I'm just like, bro, like I'm kind of good. Like, I don't even want to be around that stuff right now after what just happened. Kind of traumatized at this point. And so we kind of just go our separate ways the whole time we went here in Vegas. We actually ended up meeting with the young lady, took her out to eat. So, you know, we're in Vegas, and then maybe a couple of days later, we leave. And I head back to town. We head back to Texas, and we made it back to Texas without a hitch. We got there. We went a different way, since we knew that if we go a certain way, you know, there's cops on this side. So we actually went like an hour out of our way just to avoid the main highways. And that's kind of pretty much it of how we went to jail and everything. Everything that was like associated, but like I mean, Vegas was fun. Got to see the Hoover Dam for the first time. Went down to Pawn Stars, you know, Bellagio. Caesar's Palace was amazing. Went up the Eiffel Tower. for free because I was a veteran, or because I am a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, did a couple things in Vegas, played some tables, won a little bit of money, not too much. I'm not really a gambler, but it was a fun experience. Never really got to do anything like that before. what else we doing in Vegas? I think that might have been like spread out over a couple of days. He said I didn't even really see him because of everything had transpired with going to jail, and it was really just a terrible time. Like, I should have never went with him. And we didn't really like went back. We didn't really talk. I had to pay for gas the entire way back. And I didn't really have any money. Like, I think when I came back, I might have had, I don't know, maybe $100. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty hot times.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I'm saying so those were pretty hard times for you to survive.
Oh man. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And like, when I get back, I start looking for lawyers and everything. I think, you know, like I had some money in my school account, the money I wasn't really trying to touch, but I needed a lawyer. So I'm looking around for lawyers and everything. Nobody will take my case because I don't live in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, I finally found one guy. His name was Craig. He ended up taking my case and taking a chance on me because I was like trying to like if I could just pay you in payments and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just pay you in payments, I'll make it happen. We'll make this happen. I really just need, you know, a lawyer to help me defend or like get this minimized or what have you. So, I think I fought that for about a year. Like this is probably like deeper into the book. But my lawyer was actually a really good lawyer. He found out that some of the police officers that took us in, it was two of them.
Mm-hmm.
One was in training. Well, the guy that was in training, he wrote the paperwork, and the guy that was supposed to be overseeing him, he didn't fill out the paperwork at all, but he lied that he did. And so because he lied and said that he filled out the paperwork, my lawyer caught it in person when he went to go interview him. And got my case dismissed the day of finals.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember taking my last final. This was after I had pretty much paid off the lawyer and everything. Like because I had moved again into it was like a senior citizen type of living arrangement thing, but they housed like regular people instead, and it was like the people there were so nice. I only had the rent was like $400 a month, which was great for me because I couldn't really afford anything else. And I stayed there for about a semester for that semester, and then when I couldn't afford it because I had all these bills and you know, with the lawyer and everything else, I had one of my other friends, Jamal and DJ, they helped me. I moved to their apartment, and I got to sleep on their couch for two semesters. So for about a year, really. And I just remember coming out of that situation. I took my last final day, and I had to explain like what happened in between. I guess on another call. I don't know if you want to explain it to. You want me to explain it to you now, or you go to another call.
All right, Chen. What happened after this incident?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I was asking, did you want me to explain to you what, like, kind of happened in between and everything? From that point forward, I pretty much was, like, just, you know, straightforward guy. I didn't really get into trouble or anything like that. I went to my class. Back home, of course, I was stressing over everything. Me and my lawyer, we kept in touch over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get, like, they had to show them that I didn't do drugs. So I had to go, like, take a drug test in Houston and get that sent off to the lawyers and the courts in Arizona. I remember, like, finally getting in touch with, like I said, we'll call him Anthony, getting in touch with Anthony, and because I kept asking him, like, hey, man, can you please just admit to these charges and just tell him that I don't have anything to do with it? Because when I called him, he lied. I was like, hey, you know, our court was there. Our court day was there. He was like, yeah, I went to it. You didn't show up. But the only reason why I knew that he lied is because I called the court and was, you know, and I asked her, you know, I told him my name was Anthony and asked about my case and everything. They was like, oh, well, you got a warrant out for your arrest. I actually had an arraignment due to my lawyer. My lawyer had helped me get a later court date.
Mm-hmm.
And to that way to gather more evidence and everything else like that. So when I found out he lied, I called him, and he was like, nah, he's like, I went to court. My case got dismissed. My lawyer handled it. It was this and it was that. And I was like, I didn't call him out on it and say that he lied or anything like that. I just, like, I was like, I just went along with him. Like, oh, okay. Well, he's like, yeah, you should have showed up. You know, like, he's like, you know, he's telling me you're going to have a warrant out for your arrest and blah, 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 this and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, man. I was just curious if you would help me out. Like, I offered to even pay him money to, like, to say, like, hey, this is your, you know, this is your, all this stuff is yours. You know, he was like, he's like, I'll think about it. And then so about a week later, I hit him up and was like, hey, man, are you still going to help me? And he was calling me all out my name. He called me, you know, you a bitch ass nigga. You should responsibility and this, that, and the third. And was like, you a pussy. You should do this and do that about the situation. Like, you know, you need to man up and take responsibility. I'm like, but it wasn't my stuff. It was yours. You literally bought everything. I didn't buy anything. Like, I was like, if you're never planning on going back to Arizona, can you please take this off of me, so that way I can continue on, because I haven't even finished my bachelor's degree yet. You are already in your career. I'm not. I need you to take this case for me, please. And, you know, like, if you're not gonna worry about ever going to Arizona again, then just take it. I mean. Cause I didn't know, like, I mean, I'm living here now, and you know, like, he hung up the phone, and we didn't speak for about 3 months or so, and then all in between, my lawyer's trying to, he's helping me out, like, he's like, you know, letting me do drug tests, he's interviewing the police officers in between. And also, he's like, hey, you think you can get the guy to sign an affidavit for him to admit that it was his? And I was like, I don't know, man. I thought I can try. And so I reached out to Anthony again.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he didn't respond. And then all of a sudden, like, one day, he just hit me out the blue and was like, hey, man, I'm sorry that you're really, you know, you're going through this. I apologize for my actions and for how I came off towards you. He was like, whatever you need, I'll do it for you. And I was like, all right, cool. That helps me out. So a week went by and hearing things. Then, like, the next thing I know, like a month went by, and I haven't heard anything from him. And so I'm like, freaking out because I'm like, I don't know. And my lawyer's asking me questions. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what he's going to do. You know, I'm trying to get in touch with him. So one day I get a call from my lawyer saying that Anthony left a message at the courthouse saying that he coerced me into saying to saying that everything was ours instead of his. He said, but he did admit that everything was his and that I was just I was unaware that everything was in the car. And so that helped my case a lot. So they suddenly, you know, everything started reversing around in that aspect of the courts and everything. And so in between that, Jay and I actually started talking back somehow. And then she, for some reason or another, she looked up my name and found my name and was like, in the Arizona system, and was like, why didn't you tell me this? And I was like, I mean, we weren't talking, you know, I was like, we weren't talking at the time. I was like, I didn't think you, you know, it was on you didn't really need it. I was like, we wasn't even, like, together. So I was like, I don't feel like you needed to know this. Like, I was still dealing with all this myself, you know, still going to school and trying to maintain freaking 15-hour semesters, 18-hour semesters. Yeah, because that was rough. But I remember, like I said, a year later, I had a my lawyer called me after I had just taken my last final for the semester, and he said, hey, they're going to drop your case on these conditions, that you don't get in trouble anymore in Arizona. And he's like, I recommend you don't get pulled over or anything at all for the next 6 months, even in Texas, even though you live in Texas. He's like, just that'll help your case. That'll, you know, you just got to be a law-abiding citizen is what the term that he used. Long as you do that, he's like, I think you got a shot in, you know, getting your life back, and then we will, you know, hopefully this goes away. So he sent me over that affidavit form. I signed it stating that I would, you know, I agree to be a law-abiding citizen for the course of the next 6 months, and but if I got in trouble in any type of way, that this case could also come back on me. And so since I didn't get in trouble or anything, like 6 months later, the case I dropped. And I was free from all of it. From I no longer had contact with the with Anthony. I was done with the semester. Me and Jay had kind of got back on good terms to where we would, like, speak again. And eventually we ended up being back together. And, you know, at the time, I kind of felt like life was okay for those. I think it was like that. I say it was like one or two semesters. It had to be because I was in the senior living home, and then I moved with Jamal and DJ, and then after that semester, that's when it was over with. Then it was on to the next challenge that happened my way. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much the end of, like, how I went to jail and everything like that. Like, how everything started in jail, all still while trying to just maintain college and, you know, stressed out every day. And on to the end of that whole situation.
All right, Mr. Colby.
I also sent over that form to you as well. I'm not sure if you got that.
No, I haven't received any form. I was about to say.
So I re-uploaded it. The book cover form that you sent over to me. If you check it should say version 2, and I filled in. Pretty much everything. I did want to like go over some of those color palettes to see like what it may look like, and also maybe some recommendations to go to look at those sizes of the books. Or just something like that. Like because I don't really know what those sizes look like just by my naked eye. And then like I filled it out to the best of my ability. I didn't really know like what genre it would fit in or the book type. Like I think I put like motivational, inspirational, not biographical novel type thing. And then for genre, I put black empowerment, but I wasn't really sure if that was the right stuff to put in.
All right, so please tell me, have you filled out the form?
That's what I was just answering.
Yeah, so can you please just send the form, because I haven't received it yet, so that I can share it with the team?
Yes, so if you go, if you're able to get on Teamwork right now, if you go where it says Gnome Writing Book Cover Design, if you click on it, you'll see that things were filled out. You'll see where it says client name, Kobe Malo, and I put in, like, what I could. I don't have any reference designs at the moment.
Nice.
Because I guess a reference design would probably be crap, that's not in there. Here we go. Reference design would be it's up here. Kendrick Lamar. I don't know. Like I have to search around. I'm not really sure what a good reference design would be, because the way I kind of explained what I would want, I don't know if it was possible to do.
All right, yeah. I can see it is filled over here. Just a minute.
Okay.
All right. And you haven't selected any specific color palette. Do you have any specific in mind, or you just want the team to go with whatever they have?
Yeah, if they could maybe start to design, and then we like, so what I wanted was like, I wanted a character in the middle of a book and kind of like split in thirds. Possibly split in thirds. Like one third Navy outfit, one third like college person, and one third like in a suit. But there's also if you maybe there's a couple album covers that maybe that can be a possible reference, which would be.
Like, yeah, if you have any references, any ideas in mind, pictures with you, you can just share it with me on the teamwork, so it will be easy for us.
Okay, I'll fill this out then. I'll input these references because
the references on the
sure,
tour.
But I'll try.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, then, Mr. Colby, do you have any other questions, anything else?
No, that should be all.
All right, so I'm going to share this information with the team, and then I will come up with the initial draft for the book covers, and also with the initial draft for the chapter 6. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Colby, thank you so much for your time. It was nice talking to you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye.